Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Haley.
Good morning, Dan.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, living the dream, Haley. Living the dream. You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And our hope for all of you out there is that you're all living the dream as well. And I'm sure you probably are because you're listening to the show. I mean, does it get better than that? I don't think so. Anyway, on the show today, we've got all kinds of good stuff. As always, I can't think of a week where I've ever launched it and said, this week sucks. Yeah, it really stinks. No, this week we're going to be talking about a big contest we launched last week.
Right. We're going to continue to let you enter this week.
To win a color consultation from Haley.
From me. I mean, it's an $85 value normally, but since I'm doing it, I mean, it's probably more.
It's at least $65 still. Well, we'll talk about that at the end. We're going to be talking about priming drywall. You know, we got all these paint and primer all-in-one products out there. Can you just skip primer on drywall? We're going to dig into that, and we'll make it fun. We promise. It's our promise to you. But right now, let's talk about fencing. And Haley, you pitched this whole idea. You wanted to talk about fence etiquette because are you thinking about putting up a fence?
So yes, there's that. I don't know that I'll be able to get to that anytime soon. But what's more pressing is that I've got a fence, a privacy fence in the backyard that separates our yard and the neighbor directly behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to fall in a section. And I don't think
Okay, so it's falling into
towards,
your yard.
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't look good. I don't like it. And I don't think it's my fence because the nice side is facing me. Unless the people that lived in our house previously put up a fence and were rude about it.
Right, which we'll explain because I think that's part of this whole fence
it's
etiquette
thing. Part of the etiquette.
So you're not sure whose fence it is.
Yeah.
Bottom line, you're not sure what to do.
Exactly.
You don't want to be that person.
So I start looking, you know, what is the fence etiquette? Yeah. I'm sure there's rules around these things.
Well, I think if you bring them a pie, you bring them any kind of baked good, that gives you an in to criticize.
You know, that's not in this list, and I think it maybe should be.
No, I think, any kind of baked good gets you one free criticism that you can launch. That's written somewhere in the bylaws. I think that's just humanity. That's in the bylaws of being human.
Hmm.
So anyway, consider that. Make it a good baked good, depending on, you know, how bad the criticism is.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, you started digging into that and trying to figure things out.
Yeah, and it turns out—
And you found a great article.
Well, every fence company in existence, it seems like, has their own blog about fence etiquette, which I think makes sense, but it's also a little bit funny to me. And I found one in particular that's extremely extensive. It's longer than any of the other articles that I've been able to find. And I think some of the points are a little bit comical to me.
But let's be fair. A lot of them
are really
great.
Good. Yes.
But then a number of them are real.
Are like, okay.
So you wanted to walk us through this because some of this stuff we weren't aware of.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know. Well, I guess we'll get to it. We'll get to those things. So where do you want to go? How do you want to start? And how is this going to solve problems?
So the first, I just kind of want to run through the list.
All right.
You know, this will give us a good overview of just being a good neighbor.
So if you've got a fence, perk your ears up, get a notepad out because you don't want your people, you know, the neighbors banging on your door.
Or if you're thinking about getting one.
If you're thinking about putting one in.
Right.
Or if you've got somebody that's got a fence and it's driving you nuts, maybe we've got the ammo to start some kind of neighborhood war. Right?
Yeah.
Well, here's hoping. Mm. What do you got?
So the first one on their list is, first off, just the importance of being a good neighbor, you know, maintaining good neighbor relations, which is true, you know, and I think that's why it's maybe a little bit nerve-wracking to have those conversations, because you really want to establish positive relationships with your neighbors from the beginning, and they are new people behind me living there now. They just moved in, so I don't want this to be my first interaction. It makes me nervous.
Well, I think, it comes to, it's awkward to talk to them about a fence that you don't like, whether it's, you know, not looking good or in good shape or it's falling down or you're putting one up.
Right.
You know, that's another thing.
Like any way you cut it.
I moved in. We had a conversation.
Yeah.
The next day there's a fence.
Exactly.
A fence up. Message sent and received.
But the goal ultimately is really to be considerate of their needs as well as your own.
Okay.
Like that's really kind of the first.
Golden rule.
Yeah. Thing that you should be thinking about here. And it's the foundation, they're saying, to a successful fencing project. So whatever the project is, that is the foundation.
Okay. All right.
Considerate of everyone's needs.
Well, I'm nothing if not that. So I've already got that in my favor.
The role of proper fence etiquette is their second point. And it's just about understanding that it's more about just the physical boundaries, and it's more about communication and understanding. So really, when you're putting up a fence, it's different than other projects you might have worked on in your backyard, because this one's all about communicating with that person that's going to share the fence with you.
Well, that's an important thing to think about, an angle to think about it
right.
from, that they're sharing the fence with you.
Yes.
When I build other things in the backyard, these are my things.
Exactly.
But the fence is our thing, even though it's kind of my thing. I wish they yeah. would help pay for the fence then.
Well, and that is the thing that you can ask for.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That seems like that might not get things off on the right foot.
But that's where having the open communication and involving them in some of these decisions that they're going to bring up in some of these other points.
Your children are annoying. I'm going to put up a fence. And do you want to help pay for that? Because we'd like to block you out of our lives entirely. Probably there's a better way to say it, but
yeah,
that's the concept.
That's,
have that conversation. Here's some baked goods. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you want to lead with the baked good, Dan.
All right.
So the other point that they're making is that it's nice for you to think about how your fence style is going to match the neighborhood. So if you've got fences around you,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to kind of take what they're doing and see if you can apply some of those same aesthetics to the fence that you're going to put up.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, just so it matches. Like, you're not putting a
chain link fence up when they've got all nice picket fences.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Makes sense.
It becomes an eyesore then. People are going to really focus on it.
What if all the other ones are eyesores?
Mm.
I don't think this rule applies then. I think if I can class up the neighborhood, that's okay. I don't think I got to just lean into the ugly,
like,
right?
Like, if everyone has a chain link fence and you put up a picket fence, then
I've got style.
Hmm.
I've got Riz, or whatever the kids say now. I'm sure I screwed that up.
Well, you're definitely not blending at that point.
Okay, so that's up for debate.
Yeah,
we're not
up
sure
for debate.
How we feel about that. But if they've got better fences, certainly don't go with a lesser fence if you can possibly help it.
Right. And if you are, I think that goes back to the next point again, where you're just communicating with the neighbors about the fence style that you're going to go with. You know, trying to bring them into that decision-making process, which feels dangerous to me a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I'm curious. Where does Haley's, where does your opinion start and where does this article end? You're presenting that almost like it's your opinion, but now I'm gathering that that's maybe not exactly what you think.
So they're saying communicate with neighbors. Before making a final decision on the fence style, it's essential to communicate with your neighbors and get their input. This collaborative approach fosters a sense of community and respect, which I agree with, but
yeah,
what if they're dead set against something and now we've just started a fight?
Yeah, that seems very complicated to try to, you know, I rented a 15-person passenger van. We're going to the store, everybody, the neighborhood party. We're going to pick out a fence for me, right? I want everybody to like it. Can you
yeah.
imagine all the different opinions, perhaps?
Yeah, it
maybe
feels like you're opening a can of worms, but hopefully, I mean, ideally, I guess you should pretty easily get on the same. How many fencing options are there? Like, can you really be
true.
So
That's
different
true.
In what you want?
Yeah, I don't know how involved this thing is that you're proposing here, but if color's involved, now it can get a little wacky.
Yes.
But color would be just on my side of the fence.
True.
I'm not coding the other side.
Well.
I'm joking, because I know
okay.
that would be
fence etiquette, Dan.
Yeah. All right. So try to come to a consensus if possible.
Yes, if
that
possible.
That works in your situation.
It's ideal.
Okay.
Right. And I think just having those things in your head before you start planning a fence is just good. Like, these are certain conversations you might think about having with your neighbors so that it's less awkward.
And that's before you even
fence is put up.
Put anything up, right?
Right.
I remember coming home from work and finding new neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were already there. I wasn't surprised that there were new neighbors. I knew that part was happening. I did come home and find a fence up right next to my house.
Without knowing that was going to happen.
Yeah, I did not know that was going to happen. I was displeased just because
you're sharing it.
Well, I wasn't even thinking about that. I just thought, is my mower going to fit? That was my first thought, because I bought this really big wide mower that I was so proud of. And now I don't know if it's going to fit.
Mm.
Once I realized it would fit, I calmed down slightly. But yeah, I was surprised to see that. And they talked to me at that point, the people putting it up, and they said, yeah, we checked. We double checked the line to make sure that we're in the right spot. And we are. And everything's fine. You know, it's not a big deal. The fence looks fine.
Sure.
Down the road. But it was
but
a little bumpy.
But just that little bit of communication beforehand would have made you feel less on the defensive coming home.
It's never good to come home and be surprised to find something like that, because it does impact how I feel about my backyard.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden this open view that we had is gone. It's blocked off.
Yeah.
And you get used to it. And it's not my call anyway. But it just would have been nice to know.
Exactly. And that point that you made about them checking the property lines is the next point in this article. They're saying to avoid any potential disputes, it's vital to clarify the exact location of property lines. So don't just take, you know, if you're tearing down an old fence and putting up a new one, you still want to have those property lines checked to make sure that that is indeed where the property line is. Because any chance that you've gone over an inch into someone else's property, they do have the right then to tear down your fence.
Okay. That's really good to know.
Yeah.
Now, another thing, we're getting towards the end here, but there's a couple of things that I for sure want to talk about. You mentioned at the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
the good side of the fence is facing your house, so you're assuming the fence is your neighbor's.
Right. And that's a big part of the etiquette, is you want to make sure the good side of the fence, like if it's a wood fence that you're putting up, typically you're going to have the posts on the one side and then the nice facing on the other side. And that facing should be facing outwards. So either towards the street if you're on a corner, or towards your neighbor if that's weird.
So you've got to look at the posts and what might be termed the uglier side.
Yes.
The less beautiful side.
Yeah.
That's yours.
That's good etiquette.
Good etiquette. It's not required, though. The police are not going to come and ticket you, right?
Although one of the points that they have at the very end is dealing with disputes and involving mediators and authorities, which is like, gosh, I hope that's not the case for anyone.
What oh, I'm sure it's the case for a lot of people.
But
I think a lot of, because putting a fence up, by very definition, is saying my place stops here mm-hmm. and yours stops over there, and never the two should cross. Right? I mean, that's a little bit of what's being conveyed.
Yeah.
Now, we don't mean that in, you know, normally when we put it up, sometimes we do. Sometimes
right.
it's just to keep a dog in or a kid
exactly.
in or, you know, just give us a boundary that we mm-hmm. feel nice on our space. But we got to remember, when we put a fence up, it is establishing that little bit. It's a boundary.
Right.
And boundaries aren't usually inviting. I think.
Well, and I think that's one of the points that they have on here that I kind of like to think about, too, is you really want to find a balance between privacy and openness. You know, privacy is essential for any homeowner, but they're saying it's also essential to balance it with being open and approachable to neighbors. So maybe that means that you've got a gate on a fence that's a little bit lower where you can still kind of like see through or...
Yeah.
I think there are ways to be creative and
there's two people on the picture
open.
For this article leaning over a picket fence, chewing the fat. They are friendly neighbors. The fence
yeah.
has allowed them to do that. Opt away from cement block wall fences
right.
with barbed wire on the top. That doesn't...
The barbed wire for sure is
yeah.
maybe not striking that balance.
Yeah. But remember, when you're thinking about putting something up, try to go through some of these things. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
And it's definitely good stuff, and it will ease the process along the
exactly.
way.
Exactly. I think that's the goal here, is really just like preparing you for that communication and a collaborative approach to putting up a fence.
Yeah, I think it's good stuff. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to stay on this fence topic. There's something that we...
Yeah, there's an unanswered question.
Yeah, we got to get to that. And I've got a question
yeah.
that you don't even know about, and it's a doozy. And that's all coming up next. Stick around. And we're back. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. Haley, last segment we talked about fences, basically fence etiquette. And we started that whole conversation with you talking about a situation at your house. The fence is kind of
It's falling in a little bit towards my property.
And that,
so I feel a little awkward. How do I approach, you know, what is the etiquette with fences?
And that's basically what got us talking about this. And then we just... went off into all kinds of great, riveting information, but we never dealt with that particular situation.
Right, we never circled back to that.
What are you going to do? And you've got just a couple minutes because I've got a big question that I don't even know if we can answer on this one yet.
So it's actually one of the things that's listed on the article that we're reading from. And It says, approach your neighbor politely and express your concerns about the fence's condition. Suggest collaborating on repairs or offer assistance in fixing the fence together. And I like that one because I do think it's fixable. And I don't want to have to fix it by myself, but I'm not opposed to helping them fix it if it means that the project gets done and we both feel good about it.
All right. Well, that's positive. Maybe throw some baked goods in there and you got to win. Right?
Yeah.
Because that's the key to everybody's
that's
heart.
That's the key.
Okay, my big question, and I really don't think we've got time to answer it. So we made a joke in the middle of the segment when we were talking, and I said something about I'm going to stain my side of the fence.
Right.
But I'm going to leave the other side undone. And you said that's not nice.
Right.
That's
you
not
should.
Good etiquette. Well, the thing is, that is a big question. Mm-hmm. A lot of people ask when they put up a fence, do I need to do both sides?
Right.
Or can I just stain the side that I see? And beyond, you know, besides the fact that it's not terribly nice etiquette to just leave this raw, uncoated fence in somebody else's face, but make your side look nice, it's kind of dumb.
Well, you're not actually taking care of the fence, and that's the point. And you want to maintain a fence if it's yours.
Right. So it's got to be coated
right.
with whatever, protected on both sides. So whatever you put on there, you got to make sure you're getting both sides. So yeah, you've got to do that. Now, the bigger question, what happens if the neighbor who didn't have this fence put up doesn't like the color? And I know you've run into a situation where
you've got
a friend.
This in my neighborhood, actually.
Okay.
There is a situation where my neighbor put up a fence and the backside of it faces the neighbor across the street from me. The neighbor does not like the raw wood. She wants it to be white on her side.
Because everything else in
everything
her yard
else
is white.
Is white. She's got a pergola. She's got like this cute tea area. She's put a lot of work into her backyard and making it look white.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So what do you do? What's the right etiquette in that situation? And it's a complicated question. There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm, because she's one of those people that probably would want to just put the white stain on there herself.
Well, like that's one option.
Yeah.
Can I just stain it, you know,
right.
or paint it? It's my side of the
right.
fence. No, you can't. We dug into that and you're not allowed to. I mean, I guess you could, maybe there's some
maybe
weird
bylaw.
Maybe
if you got like written permission from them, but
you would have to ask.
Yeah.
You would have to get permission to do that. Now, you know, a solution would be to put up your own fence that kind of butts right up to.
That's the ultimate solution.
The other person's fence. Then you can do whatever you want
right.
on that. But you can't just paint somebody else's fence. Another great question that came up, you know, that I'm thinking about as we're digging into this, I'm looking on these forums and somebody asks, okay, what does everybody out there think? My neighbor wants to paint his side of my fence white. My side and the whole fence is stained, but he wants to make it white. I'm okay with it. What does everybody out there think, though? Just to make sure. And
it's not a great idea.
No, for what reason? It's kind of interesting.
Well, because you're not in control of how that's being applied. So if they do a sloppy job, or let's say it fails prematurely on their side now, and they move, you're responsible for their cleanup.
You know, and quite honestly, even if they don't move.
Yeah.
And they're those people, they can literally say that's your fence.
This is peeling off. And can you maintain your fence, please?
Right. Technically,
yeah,
it's your fence. There's a lot going on. It's a big topic, way bigger than I thought it was when I first had the question. You know, the question came up during the break. We did a little digging, and I realized how big it is. I think we're going to tackle it in the future, and we'll marry it to another segment where we talk about maintenance coding.
Yeah, how do you do that?
All the things you need to do to keep your fence looking great. Or your neighbor's fence looking great. Maybe if you stain under cover of darkness. No, they're going to know it was you. They're going to know it was you. All right, that's all the time we've got for fences. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking about drywall primer.
It's riveting.
It's going to be great. We are going to bring our A games and make that amazing. And then we'll get to that contest.
Yes.
So you're going to want to hang around for all of that. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. Well, Haley, let's talk about drywall primer. And before we jump into all of that, let's start a big fight out there.
I knew you were going to do it.
In the break, we were talking about sports and athletes, and I stumbled on an incredible sport that I think everybody should be a part of. The athletes that do this sport are amazing.
Heroes.
It's fingerboarding. It's like doing a skateboard, only just with your fingers.
Except not just with your fingers, because they caught it with their hands.
Well, I watched some guy who, just caught it with his hands. Has anybody ever seen these things? I'm sure you have. They've been around since 1999, maybe even further back than that. Probably way further back than that. But yes, they're like little tiny...
It's all miniatures. They've got like miniature half pipes. They've got like benches and mailboxes. They create these little finger worlds for themselves.
Yeah, and they're just running their little skateboard with their fingers on it over all these things. It's like they're kids playing.
I mean, how can you really be proud of this?
I don't know. I saw that and I could not quite wrap my brain around that.
We wept for the future.
We did. But hey, convince me.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe your fingers are just ripped, you know? Anyway, you're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. Let's talk drywall primer. So
The shift, yeah.
Right. I'm going to just paint a scenario here. And, that wasn't even intentional.
That was a good
point. Also am an athlete. I'm a word athlete. Anyway, drywall. Let's talk about that. You got brand new drywall. And a lot of times we see all these paint and primer all-in-ones.
Right.
I don't need to prime my drywall, right? I can just go straight to finish paint. What do you think? Do we want to prime drywall? Do we not want to prime drywall?
You got to prime
benefit?
It. You got to prime it.
Haley is bringing the smackdown. She is raining on our parade. She's killing our buzz.
Yeah.
Why do we want to prime drywall, Haley?
Right off the bat, it's going to give you a better foundation to work on. So drywall is a really, really porous material, and it's inconsistent. Like drywall mud, for example, is going to absorb paint differently than the actual drywall board is.
Right. So when you prime those areas, it's going to really give you that firm foundation to work on, that even foundation. And that means your finished paint is going to apply more evenly.
Right.
It's going to look better. You're going to have less likelihood of flashing, lap lines, picture framing, or hat banding. And I guess we probably should mention
this. Describe that, though, because when you say that, I don't know that like most homeowners are going to understand.
Right. And we don't always run into it. It's a paint problem that happens from time to time. And we're going to talk about it on a future episode, how to avoid it.
Yes.
But basically what happens is you cut in a room and you go around the ceiling and maybe around the corners and you brush all that in. And a lot of times people will brush that in at like a 4-inch, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Band all the way around the room. Then they'll paint up to that kind of with the roller on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll step back. And very often, or at least from time to time, that band along the top by the ceiling, sometimes
looks
in the
like
corners,
a different color, right?
Yeah, it looks darker. Looks like, a different color entirely. And so when you catch it from a straight on, sometimes you don't see it. From an angle, sometimes it looks like the whole room is framed.
Mm-hmm.
So picture framing or hat banding. We'll talk about why that happens and how to avoid it in the future, in a future segment. But one way to help is by priming. That gives you that firm foundation.
Exactly.
Gets you great results. So that's one reason to prime. What's another one?
It saves you money. I mean, we all love saving money. I don't think anyone out there doesn't like saving money.
Maybe there's somebody.
They just love burning it.
I guess so. It's possible.
It's possible. It's possible.
It's possible. I told the kids we got our taxes done.
Oh, boy.
And I told them if we get X amount back, I'm going to just unroll a roll of toilet paper, and I'm going to tuck $100 bills in periodically and roll it back up just so they could just flush them right down. We did not get that much money back.
So you're not doing this?
No, not going to do that. We're not even doing 50s.
Mm.
But anyway, some people maybe like to do that. But if you're not of that mindset and you do like saving money, priming will help you do that. And I think this is kind of dumb on our part. We say that all the time. We've said that for years on the show. We've said that for years in the store at Repco Light.
Right.
But on the show, we have never really dished the dirt on the numbers.
No. And so, I mean, the way that works is, like we talked about, it's a really porous material. So if it's not sealed ahead of time of painting, that means that it's going to soak up a bunch of paint when you're doing that, you know, top coat. And ultimately, you're doing more coats of paint to try to get it to actually be an even, consistent job. The priming, if you just did a coat of primer, you'd avoid all of that. You could do fewer coats of paint. So what is the math?
Well, the I didn't know that was coming to me at that point.
Sorry.
Well, the math is this. The primer is so much cheaper. Right now, it's even cheaper. We've got our Quick Seal primer. It's a premium drywall primer. It's going to be excellent for that surface. And it's on sale for $19.02 a gallon. You know, generally, it's around $30 a gallon.
Right. It's a really good sale. $19.02. Hold on.
I know. The $19.02 is utterly ridiculous.
$19.02.
That was the number that was given to me, and I did not catch it. I did not even think to ask about that 2 cents. I just took it, wrote it down, and ran with it. I showed it to Haley, and she said, seriously, 1902?
We couldn't get rid of the 2 cents?
No, we didn't. Anyway, it's on sale for 1902. That's your primer.
Yeah.
And even if it was in the 30s or the 20s or wherever different primers will fall,
less expensive.
Your finish paint is in the mid-50s if you're getting anything decent these days. And it just goes up from there.
Yeah.
So if you can get a coat on the walls at $19, $20 a gallon, even $30, it's way better than the other. And that's what you're going to be spending if you don't seal those surfaces up. So priming gives you that consistent foundation to work on, and it saves you money. And as we mentioned, the Quick Seal is on sale. It's on sale all through March.
It's a great time. And the Quick Seal is really unique, too. Like, we've asked, I'm going to go off script here for a minute, Dan. I know I'm seeing the look in your eyes. But we had a rep that told us that this is actually a really unique PVA primer because it seals so much better than other PVAs. They don't necessarily focus on that like the Quick Seal, appropriately named, does. So out of all the PVAs out there, this is really one to look at.
Yeah. So if you've got drywall, you know, new drywall that you're getting ready to coat, definitely check that out. Now's the time to get it. I mean, I think you're going to get a premium product at a better price point than probably a lot of other products out there, primers out there. It's going to do an excellent job. You're going to like that. So you can stop in at any Repcolite. It should be right out in the open. Just point at it and say, bring it to my car, and they will happily do that for you. If you have a painted wall and you're just changing colors, you don't need to prime those kinds of situations. In most situations, if you're making
in most situations,
a big adjustment, you might want to.
Yep.
But the Quick Seal, primarily what we're talking about here is drywall that has not been coated already.
Exactly.
All right. Really good to use primer. It's going to help you out in the long run. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about that contest.
Right.
And tell people how they can get entered, and then talk about some valuable points that everybody can take away, even if they aren't the winner. And they can still apply these in their home and get great results, right?
Yes.
All right. That's all coming up next. Stick around. And we're back. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore. And we've got a ton of stuff we're going to do in this segment.
Right.
We're going to get to our big contest. We're giving away 5 color consultations with Haley and 5 different people, right? You're going to win that, an $85 value. It's on site. She'll help you get your colors, get everything figured out. We'll be giving that away, or at least telling you how you can get entered into that at the end of this segment. But right now, let's just get into it. Last week, we talked about what a color consultation looks like and why you would want one.
Right.
And who they're for and all of those things.
Exactly.
We basically dialed in on homeowners and what the process looks like for them. But color consultations really can be extremely helpful for businesses, for contractors, for realtors.
Right. And we briefly, you know, mentioned that at the very beginning, but we didn't really dig into why or how they would use them specifically. So I think we just want to give a brief kind of overview for each of those sectors as to how you could utilize a color consultation.
And then we're going to give you a quick little kind of the free advice version. If you're not going to get a color consultant, we still want to dish out some free advice.
Right.
So you can do some of this on your own.
And just have better results, hopefully.
And then after that, we'll tell you how you can win a visit from Haley.
Right.
All right, let's start with businesses. How does a color consultation help a business?
I mean, for a business, it's really about enhancing that visual identity for them, right? Because this is brand perception at the point of a business owner. You want to really enhance the customer experience. It's really not about you so much, not like we talked about with a homeowner. So it's a little bit different, right? I mean, they're going to be looking at branding and identity, making sure that all of the colors being selected really align with how you see your brand. You know, what that feels like, what it's supposed to represent to your customer, because colors are going to really play a big part of that in the interior. They induce emotions.
And it's very interesting because when we're talking with homeowners or towards homeowners about this, it's all about what you love.
Right.
And we'll literally say it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Everybody else hates it. This is your home. We kind of flip that on its head when it comes to businesses.
A little bit. Hopefully they like it, but but it really matters how, you know, their target market is going to respond to the colors. That's really what the goal is at that point. And so I think it is nice to have kind of this outside person come in and be objective about that.
I guess that's what I was getting at, because I think we can train ourselves to, you know what, I like what I like and I do it. And I can do that in my home. But in a business, you got to look at it from another point of view. And how do you know what's, you know, well received in the world out there if you don't live in that world of color?
Right.
Talk about color.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be a tough question. So bringing somebody in can help you nail that down a little bit better.
Right. And I think whether you're talking about the interior, you're refreshing that, or the exterior, I think the exterior is especially important. I mean, interior, obviously, we want to get that right. But exterior, that's your first impression. I mean, that's potentially bringing someone into the business. So it's definitely something that you want to get right. Everyone's going to see that part.
Yeah, get that right so you can get them inside and find out if they hate what you've done inside. But you'll never know if you don't get them in. So that's really good. I like all of that. Now let's talk about realtors. We just had Sue Prinz and Ginger Herman on a couple of weeks ago. Realtors par excellence.
Yes.
But there are other realtors out there, and maybe these people could benefit from color consultations. How so, Haley? Regale us with your knowledge.
You know, similar to what we talked about with a business, with a home that you're trying to sell, the curb appeal is extremely important. It's going to be that first impression. And so having someone that's living in the world of color to get that right for you is really important. And I think with a realtor and a client, that conversation can be tricky sometimes too. And it's nice to have that outside mediator, so to speak, come in and give really objective advice that doesn't feel like it's pointed personally. Like they're an expert coming in to tell you what the market is looking for from these colors. And it doesn't feel like, well, you painted a bad color on your house. So
I can read between the lines. I know what's being said. But yes, it's good to have that. It's better to have that than to not have that. And I would think, yes, this would apply to realtors, but anybody going the for sale by owner route, this is something else
true
to consider very seriously.
Because it works right alongside staging. I think everyone, you know, understands the value of that, putting really nice, well-designed furniture in a space to help guide a person through, take all of your clutter out. It's very important in getting that staging and those photographs right. But the backdrop is equally important. You can't have a really nice staged home and then the colors on the walls feel totally disconnected.
Right.
I think those things have to go hand in hand. So a color consultant can just help you get there. And then I think one of the things that maybe is a misconception that's really nice to think about is making it still have a personality with the paint colors. The instinct is to make everything as neutral as possible so that anyone can picture their lives there. But what ends up happening is that every house on the market is doing that exact same thing, and likely with very similar colors even.
Well, so, when there's a certain color, that's the color.
Right.
Everybody's using it.
Yeah. You start to not stand out. And when you're looking at a ton of listings, especially on, you know, multiple listing sites where you're not even in person yet, they all just start to blend together.
I know this is different, but it gets the point across. I remember Pray to Homes. Remember going through a bunch of houses. Mm-hmm. Revere Pewter was the color that everybody was using. And by the third house, maybe the fourth, I thought I'd been there already. And I was completely serious. Now, yes, I'm directionally challenged, but everything felt the same.
Right.
And then I remember one house where they had just a different color in a couple of rooms, a sunroom and something else. That's a house I can still picture it. I can't picture the other ones. They all blend together, but that one stood out. That's what you're getting at.
Exactly. You still want to have something that's memorable and to really stick in someone's mind is, oh yeah, that house with that really interesting blue wall. You know, there's got to be something that sticks in their head a little bit more than just something that's been, you know, totally wiped out with all neutrals.
And if you don't work with color day in and day out, that can be a little bit tricky to pull off.
Yeah, it's
confidently
challenging. Right. So definitely a reason to use a color consultant if you're a realtor, because it's going to ultimately maximize your return on investment, which is what everyone in that situation is after. So,
all right. So that makes sense. I know the last one on your list is contractors,
right?
Like painting contractors.
Painting contractors specifically. And I think the the nicest part about this, maybe from the contractor's point of view, is that it's going to really make their job more efficient and streamlined, because I think sometimes they're coming into a situation where the color hasn't been totally nailed down yet. And now they're being brought into that color conversation. And I think that there can be some indecision, like we talked about, and second guessing. So it delays their ability to start a project. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you know, the client feels rushed. Maybe they make a decision and that affects their satisfaction with the end result. So all of this improves their efficiency, but it also is helping you look more professional as a painter, and it's improving your customer satisfaction in the end.
And I would think on one other aspect of this, and it would play into all of these, is mm-hmm. what we mentioned with the one last week where we talked to homeowners, is you're not just getting color advice when you're getting a color consultation,
right.
you know, from RepColite or with Haley with this particular contest. You're getting the paint recommendation as well.
Right.
You know paint back and forth. The people that were sending out no paint back and forth, so they can give you your color recommendations, mm-hmm. but they'll say this is what you need here, and you can
or
get
know
the right
what
product.
Color not to choose for the paint job, because
exactly.
that's the other thing that happens, and the painter isn't necessarily winning in that conversation either when they're telling the person, "Well, I don't want to put that color on the outside of your house." It creates a sticky situation for someone. And I think a color consultant coming in and saying, "Well, this color is going to fade prematurely. Here's what I would recommend instead." Having someone that's knowledgeable on both sides of that is really helpful for both parties.
All right. So there's some reasons to use it, whether you're a business owner, a realtor, whether you're selling your house
mm-hmm.
for sale by owner, painting contractor, perhaps. Let's dish out a couple of little tidbits of free advice for people out there, and then let's get to the contest.
Yes. So first thing, and I think sometimes half of the job of a color consultant is just figuring out your style as the client. So maybe you know that, you're very clear that I am French country, that is my style. But maybe you have no idea how to communicate that to anyone. And so a lot of the job is just figuring that out first and foremost. I think there's some really nice tools out there. First place I would look is Benjamin Moore's website. They have a section of it called Color Palettes by Style, and they break down all of the different styles you could possibly imagine, and they describe them to you. They give you pictures to look at. They're actually giving you colors that fit within those styles. So it's a really great starting point, and that's honestly sometimes the hardest part.
And that's right on the Benjamin Moore website. It's a really cool thing. You just stumbled into it.
I didn't actually know this existed until maybe a week ago. Yeah,
right.
Is when I found it.
It's really slick. So definitely check that out. We'll put a link in the show notes,
yep.
but you could just head to Benjamin Moore's website and you should be able to find it from there, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one thing
Next
you can do.
Next thing, definitely look at the entire space. This is something that I think is probably a pretty common mistake, is people just look at the room that they're going to be painting. And what a color consultant's goal is to make sure that that room connects to the rest of the house. And so that's something to keep in your mind as you're repainting anything, is make sure that this color is still going to look good with the room next to it or the hallway. It's got to connect to everything else, or else it's just going to ultimately feel broken.
All right. So that's good advice. The last one is sample. Make sure you're sampling your colors with real paint.
Yes, with real paint. You know, color chips are one thing. Even the architectural chips that a color consultant would bring with them to look at the colors with you are not going to be as accurate as an actual paint sample.
And Benjamin Moore color samples are going to be half off starting the 13th and running through the rest of the month.
Right.
So definitely take advantage of that.
Yes.
All right, Haley, we've got maybe 45 seconds left. Walk them through the contest.
So to get entered, just email radio@repcolite.com. Tell us whether you're a homeowner, a contractor, a realtor, or a business owner looking for a color consultation. Or you could go to our Facebook and Instagram and have even more chances to enter, because we're drawing winners from all of those platforms. And we're drawing 5 winners. Those are going to be announced on the 11th, which is Monday.
All right. You've got to be within 45 miles of Grand Rapids. That's the one limit.
Yes.
We've got all of that information in the show notes. If you'd like that color consultation, that in-home color consultation with Haley, whether it's for your business or just for your home, get to RepcoLite.com. Send us an email, radio@RepcoLite.com, or head to RepcoLite's Facebook page, Instagram page. Multiple places to get entered.
Right, exactly.
Get entered in all of them.
You're upping your chances by doing so.
Upping your chances. All right. That's all the time we've got. If you want to catch this episode again, you can find it online at repcolite.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah.
You'll never, ever miss another episode.
Give us a review. All of those things help us, as long as the review is good.
Yeah. You saw my face, didn't you?
Yeah.
I want a good review. I don't really need something negative.
No,
constructive,
just be nice.
I don't even know if I want constructive. If you have something nice to say, leave a review. I'd love it. All right. Whatever you do today, make sure paint's a part of it. I'm Dan Hansen.
I'm Haley Johnson. Thanks for listening.